Hey, just push the button. Thank you. My name is Jennifer, and I'm one of the elders here at Village Green. And as I look around and as I look out at the congregation and I think about those online, I know that many of you are parents, and some of you are grandparents, and some of you may be even Gigi's, which is great-grandparents. And you know the pride that you feel when you see God at work in the lives of your children and grandchildren, when you see them growing up, maturing, and becoming wonderful people. And it's just amazing, and it's so, so heartwarming. Well, we who have been around here at Village Green for a while get that feeling when we think about Jake and Lady. Yes. We are very proud and very happy to be able to introduce them this morning. Jake and Lady are missionaries, along with their son Oliver, with Latin America Mission in Armenia, Colombia. Yes. And all the Colombians said, amen. Anyways, we are so happy that they are representing us and they're serving the Lord there. Most of us are familiar with their ministry with El Nido, which is the nest. And that's a ministry of taking care and ministering to teenagers, pregnant girls, single moms. So we're familiar, I think a lot of us are with that. Jake and Lady are going to share much more with us on September the 22nd. So if you could put that date and take note of that date in the evening, because that's their evening, and that's the moment that they get to give much more detail. But many of you did not know that they have also started a church. They have planted a church there and together and with another one, and Jake is the associate pastor. So there's a whole new role for us to hear about. So we're just so grateful to the Lord for the way that he has worked in Jake's life. We knew him as a child. We knew him as a student. We knew him as a teenager. We knew him as a young adult. Now we know him as a married man and a father. And we're just so grateful and so proud and so happy to have him come and Lady to share this morning. Is Oliver coming too? Yay!
Thanks so much.
You made me
Jennifer.
Cry, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Thank you for those wonderful words.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful introduction, and now we have a lot to live up to. Please forgive me if my throat cracks a bit. It's not just the emotion. I may cry. It's like I'm like my dad, if many of you know my dad, Brent Paul. He's a crier, I'm a crier. But it's also, we got over COVID, we came here, we were here for one Sunday, and that Sunday night we came down, well not that Sunday night, but then the following days, we were in contact with someone that night that had COVID, and we both got COVID, so we've hit the Canadian COVID, avoided it in Colombia, came here to get it, but yeah, so I have a little bit of a so sorry if I'm clearing my throat into the microphone a lot, it's probably going to happen today, but we wanted to say hi. Many of you we know. Many of you we don't know. It's nice to see new faces. That's great. That means our home church that I was born and raised in is growing, and that's amazing too. And we want to also say a quick saludos para todos nuestros amigos que son latinos. Bueno, sorry I'm not preaching in Spanish this morning, but I finally get to preach in English, which actually may be harder because I haven't had to do this in 3 years. So who knows? We never know. But yeah, as Jennifer said, we have just recently, since the last time we saw you, we've planted a church. And that's been going really, really well. We are extremely blessed to be part of a community that makes me feel very similar to the community I grew up in. It's a smaller community, communal-based, really focused on one another. And it's something that I, there we go, personally love. And we're also involved in El Nido, which many of you have heard about before. But I'll let Lady say just a little bit more about that because she's the one who's actually in charge of it, mostly with her friend. I'm just kind of in the background helping doing tech stuff.
Well, hello, everyone. Just I'm lady. I was raised and born in Colombia. So if I have a little accent, well, you know why. My husband is just working so hard to teach me English, so I can be here with you today. So, well, El Nido is a beautiful project. It's my passion, the dream that God put in our hearts to work with teen moms. The doesn't have anybody there for them. And we just work and walk with them and teach them about God and give them hope and joy and help them to have a better start for them and their new generations that will come after them. So more or less, that's what El Nido means. We really hope that you can come and be with us the night of September 22nd.
22nd.
We flew from Colombia to here, so we hope you can fly or drive from your house to here to be with us. That will be lovely. And we see new faces that are new to us, and we would love to meet you and talk to you after the service. We'll be just happy to have new members in our family here. So yeah, please feel free to approach us and chat with us. Just have a little patience with me, okay? Okay, I will let my husband.
And this is our son, Oliver. Do you want to say something?
Hi? You want to say hi? Mm.
It's a microphone. Oh,
no,
yeah.
He's too
it's
shy.
Okay. That's okay, buddy.
Thanks for having us here.
Thank you. I will turn this off. Do I need to give this to somebody? No? Okay. All right, we'll leave it here. So this morning, we're going to be speaking and talking about freedom. Before we dive in, I wanted to ask you guys a little bit, what is freedom to you? Anybody? When you think of freedom, what do you think about? Responsibility? No restraints? Freedom to do what you like within boundaries. All those are all good responses. So we're going to dive in a bit. We're going to be talking mainly to what it means to have freedom in Christ. And so before we start talking, I want to just read the whole passage. We're going to be looking at Galatians 5 this morning, Galatians 5, 13 to 26. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and listen as I read through the text that we're going to be studying this morning. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual morality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires to their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. God, this morning I just want to ask that you would teach all of us in this room, myself included. God, that we would just listen to your words, that it wouldn't be my words coming out of my mouth, that it would be the words of the Spirit to edify all of us this morning as we are part of one universal church. Remind us that we're part of a larger body, that there's millions of Christians walking this earth, people that are following you. and that we want to follow you together. We want to be unified as one, and we want to use your spirit to show others who you are and use our freedom in the right way. So God, I just ask that you would bless all of us here this morning and that we would leave here being encouraged and challenged to become more like you. Amen. So some of you know my friend Andres in Colombia. I met him when I first went down to Colombia on a missions trip in the year 2000, and we have been friends ever since. He's actually probably one of the people God used to pull me to go live there, to convince me that I should go live with them and work with them. So he's been like a brother to me, and we now live together. We built a house together. It's like a townhouse with one wall. So our family lives on one side, his family lives on another. It works. We're still friends. We're still brothers. And so we're really close. He's the senior pastor, the main pastor of the church that we planted together. And he's a huge encouragement to my life. And recently we were talking because he's started to do like an inner healing course. He works with the university and they asked him to test this course out in our community and basically get a group of people together and go through some material that just basically is to liberate you in different areas of your life and talk about maybe things that you didn't even realize that were hindering you from following Jesus more. And so he said, he's like, oh, I had this question the other night, and it said, what family secrets do you have? What are some of the secrets in your family? And because it's talking like those family secrets can be something that can enslave us and keep us in a state of slavery. And he said, to be honest, I realized I don't have any. He said, like, I was going through, and I was like, no, I don't have any family secrets. He's like, do you have any family secrets? I was like, I don't know if I want to tell you. No, I really don't. I was like, but I said, no, like, I actually don't. And I think that's because in the environment that I grew up in was a very healthy environment as well. I know I'm not boosting my parents up a lot here, but they're not perfect. But really, it was a very healthy environment. I felt free to ask questions. There wasn't any secrets. There wasn't anything that came out that would be like, oh, I didn't know that. No, it was a very open environment. So I said, yeah, that's maybe not an area. We probably have other areas we need to be liberated in, but that's maybe not one of them. So yeah, so there's some things, but there are some other people that do have family secrets. And I'm not gonna go into this too much as I don't wanna embarrass necessarily my wife, but she knows I can share a lot about her history. She came from a background not as, you could say, healthy as mine. She was born out of wedlock. She was hidden from her other brothers and sisters, so she actually has no relationship with them to this day. Some of them now know she exists, but don't really want to have any contact with her because her father, has now changed. He's now come to know Jesus. He's changed and everything, but he was very abusive, and he was like basically invisible. And so her father went back to his original family, and one of the deals that was made was like, okay, but you can't ever tell our children that Lady exists. So one night we were over at Andres's family's house. These are coincidences, right? So we're at Andres's family's house and we're having a party for Christmas. And in Colombia, it's on the 24th. They have a huge party. It's pretty awesome. So it goes all night, and they eat and open up their gifts at midnight. So we were over there, and one of the other members of Andres' family, extended family, brought a date. And that person happened to be Lady's half-brother, who she knew who he was, but she wasn't sure if he knew who she was. And she just ran into the kitchen. And I had no idea what was happening. She explained to me later. I was like, all of a sudden, my wife was just like, where's Lady? Well, there's this party, and she's no longer to be found. And she was inside talking to Andres' mother-in-law. And it was just a really uncomfortable situation. And it was because there had been this family secret on that side, and my wife has to suffer because of that. And it puts her in this weird, awkward situation where she's not sure what she's allowed to say, what she's allowed to do. She doesn't want to cause problems. And it's also been sad because she's been unable to have a relationship with brothers and sisters. She doesn't have anyone else in her family. So these are the types of things that sometimes these family secrets can enslave us. And we're going to talk about becoming free from these things. But This is something I like about Paul. When Paul is writing these letters, a lot of the time he's writing from jail, and he's talking about freedom, he's talking about unity, and it doesn't really necessarily mean his individual freedom. He's talking about a communal freedom and the freedom we have in Christ. And when we speak of freedom in Christ, a lot of the time, the first point we're going to talk about is freedom from sin, right? So like that's kind of like normally when we present the gospel to people, this freedom when we get to know Jesus, this freedom from sin, we repent and we're free from our sin. And that's true. That's perfect. And I would say, but that's not it, right? This part, that's the beginning of a lifelong process, a lifelong process of reminding ourselves that we can be free to live in Christ. Because freedom in Christ, when we're talking about from the sin, this is when we're talking about freedom from sin, it deals with the eternal. It does deal with the eternal. We are free from the sin that enslaves us, that makes us basically not worthy to be in the presence of God, but God is saying, I have made a sacrifice. I have freed you from this. Jesus has freed us so that we can actually truly know him and be part of God's family, and we can be called sons of God, and we can refer to him as Abba. We can refer to him as Father. That's something that's very, very beautiful. And it's much more than just this freedom to make us feel comfortable. That, okay, like I've punched the ticket, I've got my eternal ticket to heaven, and now I'm here. I'm good. I can just be free to live my life and do what I want to do. It's much more than that, right? The idea is to be free from sin to stop sinning. It's like, it's not to like, oh, I'm free and now I'm good. I punched the ticket, I'm good. I got this in my back pocket. When it comes, when my number's called, I'll just go before God and everything's good. It's like, no, there's more, much more to it than that. And I was like, and we're no longer a slave to sin, but that also means we have to continue to choose to not to return to our former slavery. Because as any of you know, and I'm one to contest to this, if there's a sin that's been in your life and it's been something, maybe an addiction or something that's hard to get rid of, it's really easy to fall back into that pattern of life. I almost say, like, it's almost like every day we have to get up and we have to choose to follow Jesus again. And it's not like he's not going to love us any less if we screw up, nothing like that. But it's like, I have to make this choice. If I'm making this choice every day, then it's going to make it easier and easier that my old habits get replaced with new habits, which will bring life and will bring freedom. But this isn't the whole picture, which brings us, because we're freedom from sin, but then we also are free to love and serve others. I think that that's right in, if we go back to verse 13, when it comes up, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." So really, this is why we're free. The reason we're free is to love and serve others. With what we do in Colombia, we have the opportunity to love and serve others a lot. But we also have that opportunity because we have people like you as a community behind us. And it would be very arrogant of us to think that we're the ones that are doing this. As we always say, like, these are God's dream. This is God's dream that he's put in our hearts. And he's given us a community of wonderful people like you guys who are part of this. It's not just us. We really couldn't do this without you. And so every time there's a talk with one of the girls about Christ, or every time we bring them groceries, this is because we've been able to do this, because we have people like you behind us. So you're all part of this. You're all part of this. And God's given you all different gifts to love and serve others in different ways. It could be having coffee with a friend. It could be just knocking on your neighbor's door and talking to them. There's many ways. And I've seen growing up in this church, love and service is something that I was taught and had ingrained into me, not just through my parents, but through all the people around me. And that's something I've always loved about this church. This is a church that loves their neighbor. And it's something that we need to foster and hold on to. Because maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like that's becoming less and less common in the Christian community. We've forgotten what it means to love and to serve others. and we've converted our freedom into more of an individualistic benefit. It's my right. This is my individual right. Don't encroach on my personal right. And I think that's when it starts to become almost dangerous. I would be interested, and so don't quote me on this because I could say something. I need, maybe John can help me on this one. But I'm pretty sure that in the entire Bible, it doesn't say anything about a personal relationship with Jesus. Not personal. It can be personal. That's good. It is personal. But it's also communal. It's something we share. It's not just me. It's everybody. Because when I think like, okay, I've accepted Jesus into my heart, and then I'm good, we forget about the responsibility. Well, wait a minute. No, I'm not actually good until I know that everyone else also knows about Jesus and has the same freedom I have. If I have that freedom, I want other people to have that freedom as well. And I think this is common when we talk about movements of freedom. If we have freedoms, we want other people to have them as well. And that should be something common in the Christian community. This joy, this understanding of what it means to know Jesus, and then it's like, okay, it's not just for me, it's for everyone else as well. Because what's happening now sometimes, and I understand, like in talking with new people in Colombia that don't know God, it's this new thing where it's like, yeah, that's good. That's good for you. That's your personal relationship. I was like, well, yes, it's my personal relationship, but it can also be yours. It's not just mine. We're supposed to share. That's where it comes when we talk about freedom and how we love to each other and we want to share this. And so instead of this individual benefit, it becomes more of a communal benefit, something we want to share with other people. And that's something I really would like to encourage you, is like, how are we sharing our freedom with others? How are we using our freedom? And it was said at the beginning, with this freedom to love and to serve also comes responsibility. And I think this is what it is. It is very, you know, okay, I'm a comic book nerd, so I always think of Spider-Man, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. But also with freedom comes responsibility. There we go. I was like, the purpose of our freedom is to glorify God. The responsibility we have is that when we use and exercise our freedom in Christ, it's pointing to Jesus, it's glorifying to him. That our lives are beacons and arrows that always point to him. Because it's really hurtful and really sad, and I think one of the things that crushes my spirit is when I feel like in some of the outspoken Christian community nowadays, there's no kindness. I mean, I make the mistake, and I try not to do it, but sometimes you go on Facebook, which is just, like, I love it because I can see people's lives, and I feel like I know what's going on. That's good. But then you read something, and you're like, oh, and then you go down the rabbit hole, I say, you know, just keep going down, 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 and then it's like, oh, I just get getting frustrated and angry. I'm like, and then it's like people are saying this stuff, and then, like, and they're a Christian. And there was a comment I read, I don't even want to repeat it, it was really ugly, a recent comment, there was no love behind it, no whatsoever, and the comment underneath it was written by someone who was like, how could a pastor say this? And then it said, this is why I walked away from the church. It's really hard for me. That's really, really hard for me because Jesus' harshest words were reserved for the religious people, and he was kind to people that needed him. He didn't let them off the hook. He didn't say, oh yeah, you're fine, go live your life. He said, go and sin no more. He corrected them. But it was with a kindness and with an encouragement that made people want to follow him. Because I'll be honest, if I was growing up in some of those other atmospheres, I probably wouldn't want to follow Christ because I wouldn't be seeing Christ because that's not who Christ is. Jesus is kind. Not just the Jesus I know, the Jesus we all know and the Jesus that really existed is kind. And so it's not like I can say, oh, that's your Jesus. No, there's one Jesus. We all know the same person and he's kind. And he calls us out when we need to be corrected. in kindness because he loves us, not for his own agenda. And so when we come things, when we correct people, when we exhort people, we need to do it in kindness. I'm not saying we don't need to do that. I have friends, my wife, they're more than open to call me out and to help me and to correct me. But as many of you know, my wife and I, it always depends on your tone. It's like, my wife can say something with a different tone, and it depends on how she says it, how I'm going to react. And there's a, I don't know if it's up there, but there's a little clip, like a comic strip, but it's not, it's actually from a book. And it says, one of our greatest freedoms is how we react to things. This is a wonderful book. We bought it for our son. Still a bit too old for him, but I like reading it. It's called The Boy, the Horse, and the Mole, but it's beautiful. But I really like this line. When I was thinking of this, it's like, one of our greatest freedoms we have is how we react to things. Do we react in anger? Do we react defensively? Or do we react with gentleness, with kindness, with self-control, things that come from the Spirit? Because this is the same verse when it's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I just want to read that list again, because this is what we're talking about. This is not us. This is the Holy Spirit in us that allows us to be better than ourselves. And I was like, and this is what the Holy Spirit in us actually produces. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law against these things. So if the Spirit is in our lives, the responsibility we have is to produce fruit that looks like that. So when it doesn't look like that, I can freely say that's not coming from God. Like, that's not. And it's not something we should ever push upon people. And we need to remember, too, if the freedom comes with this responsibility that we want to share it, who are we going to share it with? And so that's where I would encourage you. I'm sure many of you do. But branch out from just your church communities. Know more people. Get to know more people. Go into different areas. Talk to people. Listen to them. I find that when I really know someone and they really know me, they're going to listen to me a lot more. And I'm going to listen to them a lot more. Instead of just launching in to a sales pitch about the gospel. Now, I know God can use anything. But I think that in some ways, that's done more damage to people than good, because sometimes it's just, for example, I had someone try to convert me and they never once asked if I was a Christian when I was in university. They spent about 20 minutes just talking at me until at the very end I was like, yeah, actually, I love Jesus too. And they're like, well, why didn't you tell me at the beginning? I was like, well, you didn't let me speak. So I think sometimes it's, and you know, like, I'm not going to want to like make them, like, they're so bad for doing that. They're trying, right? They're going out of their comfort zone to talk about Jesus in a university setting. But at the same time, it's like, how are we communicating him to others? Because when I read the scriptures and I read Jesus' life, he would talk to people. He would have meals with people. And that's something in our community that we've started to realize it's something important. We call it the community of the table, to invite people to your home, to invite people to a coffee shop, to sit around, to talk with them. It's been hard in COVID, I know. But now that things are more opening, like, to go back to that. Because I don't know why, but for me, maybe it's just because I love food, but there's something about sitting around a table and talking that just loosens people's tongues. To really just talk, and you get to know who they are, and you get to share. And there's something almost spiritual about that aspect when it's just like, you can talk about anything with them. You can talk about Jesus. They can feel free to ask questions because they feel like they're safe. And when you're safe, you can actually be vulnerable. And so I think that that's something that's so, so important. And I know, like, I'm probably running out of time, so I don't want to be going on too long either. But I think it's moving from this idea of a transactional relationship to a communal relationship. Instead of like what Paul is saying in this text, and is going back, because the whole beginning of Galatians 5, he's talking about circumcision, because people were telling the Gentiles they needed to be circumcised in order to be in the family of God. And he's saying, well, no, you don't. And so it's this idea of moving from that transactional relationship to a communal relationship. So it's not what I do that makes me loved by God, but it's who I am and how I express my freedom in Christ. That's what I think Jesus wants to see. And I think it's more from him, I feel like it's more encouragement than it is like being pushed upon me. He wants to encourage us in the Spirit to talk about our freedom, to live in our freedom, and to share that freedom with others. He doesn't want to be like, you have to do this, you have to do this. Because when I feel like I have to do something, I'll be honest, I don't necessarily do it that great. But when I want to do something and I feel like I've been encouraged to do something, I put more effort into it. Maybe that's just my personality, I don't know. But that's how I kind of work. But I'll be honest, the transactional relationship is almost in some ways easier, and I revert back to it. For example, when we were back in Colombia, we got sick before we came. We thought it was COVID, turned out not to be COVID, just a different cold. Or maybe it was, who knows. But I was sick. I was sick and I was praying to God. I was like, no, God, like, please, like, you know, like, I can't get sick. We're going to Canada. We're doing this. I need to get all this stuff done. I was like, I'll do this, this, and this if you make sure I don't get sick. I actually prayed that. I was like, what? Why am I praying like this? That's not me. That's not my relationship with Jesus. But you revert back to that sometimes because it's easier maybe to think of God like that, like a boss. Like, if I do this, this, and this, then I'll get this, this, and this. Instead of God like a father, where it's like, you know, I'd like you to do this. You might not do it. I'm still going to hug you, and I'm still going to love you. But I would really like you to do this. And then when you do it, there's that, like, encouragement, that warming smile. That's the kindness, that gentleness that comes from a father. It comes from what a father should be. That's something for me that is very, very different. And so freedom that we have, the response that comes, it really needs to be to help other people break their chains and come out of slavery. Like I said before, I'm not okay if everyone's not okay. I want, when everything is over and I'm standing in front of Jesus, I want to be able to say, I shared you with everybody I know. And I talked about you with everybody I know. And I love these people. And I hope that they decided to follow you. But that's their decision. That responsibility isn't on me. It's not our job to change people's minds. It's our job to point them to Jesus and to love them and to encourage them, no matter what. And I think that that's where it comes down to. Jesus didn't die for me. Well, he did. But he died for all of us. He didn't just die for me. He died for my neighbor. He died for everyone in this world. And so when we come into contact with people, we need to remember that. And we remember, if Jesus died for them, then they are worthy of talking to. And I think that's where it comes right down to it to me. It's like, if Jesus died for everybody, then we have the responsibility to talk about him with everybody, because that's something that they need to know. And I think that from the very beginning in the garden, the serpent has been distorting God's voice and saying, did he really say that? Did he really die for everyone? I don't know. And we need to test our inner voices sometimes. Say, is it the Spirit? Because if it's the Spirit, this is the fruit. This is the list of fruit that it's producing. And if it's not producing that, then it's definitely not from God. And I think it's good to test. I think I was here a couple weeks ago and John was talking about your thoughts lie. Very true. Remember that. Your thoughts lie. Test them. The Spirit doesn't lie. And if you know Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, it will tell you the truth. You will feel his voice and it may be in a different way that someone else feels it, but if you have that relationship, you will. So I want to go back to the beginning. I was telling a story about family secrets, and I was talking to my friend Andres. There's more to that story. At the end of that, like we were talking, he said, he decided, he's like, well, I don't have any, but I'll call my grandma. I'm going to call up my grandma and see. His grandma's a really sweet lady. She recently started coming to our church as well. So he called her up and he said, Grandma, like, how are you doing? He says, not rude, but he likes to bother his grandma a lot. So he's like bothering her a lot. And then he said, Grandma, I just want to ask you, are there any family secrets I should know about? And he said it kind of in a joking way. And she just broke down crying. And he was like, oh. He's like, and Andres doesn't know how to deal with emotion very well. So he was like, like trying to laugh. And then he said to his grandma, he's like, well, what's on? What's going on? And she was just like, I was the one, when you were born, to your mom, who was a single mother, I told her to abort you. And Andres knew this. Andres actually knew this. He had worked through this years ago because his mom had said, like she was considering abortion, and like when he was little, and it was a possibility. And she had been carrying this around for however many, 40 years. 41 years. I was like, and she just crying and crying. And then Andres had a lot of responsibility in that moment. He could have been angry and said, like, why would you have ever done that? Why would you consider that? Like, that's so evil. Instead of thinking about the situation they were in. Sometimes you do things that you don't want to do. Sometimes you think things that you don't want to do. Sometimes your thoughts lie. But thankfully, his mom didn't make that decision. He was born, and she just said, yeah, like, I'm just so glad that didn't happen, because now look at you, look what you're doing for God, look at all the fruit that's come from this. And he just said, Grandma, he's like, I knew that. He's like, I'm not mad at you. He's like, I forgive you. And that moment, that healed something in his grandma's life, something that she had carried around. Because when we forgive, we love others as well. And so if our capability grows more to love others, we're going to be able to forgive others as well. And this is like this last phrase, is freedom in Jesus has always been about your ability to love others better. And if we can love others better, we're going to get there together. We're going to help. It will change the world. Like it says when always is like, you know, love others, change the world. Love God, love others, change the world. That's how we do it. That's really how we do it. So I think like thinking about just the freedom that she received in that moment, just because of something that God just was like, oh, call your grandma. God knew. God knew what she had been carrying around. And sometimes it's harder for us to forgive ourselves than it is for God to forgive us, obviously, because we're like, okay, God forgives us, but we can't forgive ourselves. But God wants us to have that freedom. He wants us to understand that his forgiveness means that we are truly forgiven, and we don't have to carry those burdens around. So we do something in Colombia. We always give a kind of, we say a reto. It's like a challenge or a goal for you guys to do and put in practice, because really, I always say, unless we're putting into practice the word of God, we're not going to be producing fruit. Not really. We have to put it into practice. We have to walk more and more like Jesus, and in that way, we become more and more like him. So the goal for this week, I want to challenge you guys, is to take a moment to contemplate on your own, in your study time or quiet time or when you're having a coffee, and think, am I really free? What does freedom mean to me? Am I really free? And the second thing is, how am I using my freedom? And then end the time by asking the Holy Spirit to reveal things in your life that maybe are enslaving you and keeping you from being truly free. Maybe you'll just have a nice time with Jesus drinking a coffee because you're free. It's like, and you're good. But maybe not. Maybe the Holy Spirit will be like, yeah, well, you know what? There's this. Or maybe you need to call someone to help someone else be free. Maybe there's somebody you need to forgive. Maybe there's somebody you need to help. And maybe that person is someone else, and maybe that person is you. So I would like to challenge you guys to do that. As the worship team comes up to sing this morning, I want to close in prayer. And I really just want, for this to be a time where we think about how are we going to use our freedom in Jesus. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. God, I'm just so thankful for the people in this room, the people that are part of this church, the people that are online, the people that are watching, the people that have been in my community and around me from when I was a little baby till now, and the people that have come into my life over the years. God, they're just such an encouragement to my life, to my walk with you. God, I just ask that we would remain faithful to you, that our freedom that we have in you propels us to change and propels us to point to you more, propels us to tell others about you more and to live like you more. God, I just ask for a sense of kindness, of gentleness, of self-control, of joy, of patience, just everything, God, that we would just listen to the Spirit and produce the fruit that you want us to produce in our lives. God, thank you so much for Village Green. Really, I really am so grateful for this community. I ask that you would bless them specifically in their mission in this year. I know these last couple of years have been really hard on a lot of churches and a lot of communities that are faithful in serving you. But it's hard. We get used to not having the connection, the in-person connection. We get used to different things. But God, I ask that you would just bring them back to the table together. They would just not lose the sense of community. And I'm not saying that they've lost it, but that they would still hold on to it. This would be something that's just always part of this church because it's been such a blessing to me. God, thank you for who they are and what they do. And God, I just ask for anyone here that's here that maybe doesn't know you, that's searching, that's looking, God, that you would speak to them and that they would speak to people here, that they would feel open to ask questions and to know more and to get to know you more. Because Jesus, in you we know that is where our freedom is and we are thankful. And may all glory and all power always be to you. Amen.
Would you stand and join us in one final song of praise?